Hello, wonderful parent. It's me, Inara, and I want you to know something right away. If your child gags or vomits when you offer them food, I see you. I see the worry in your heart, the exhaustion from trying everything, the fear that something is deeply wrong. And I want to wrap you in the warmest cosmic hug and tell you this. You are not alone, your child is not broken, and there is so much hope ahead. The Magic Book and I have been learning about something called severe food aversion, and what we discovered is absolutely beautiful in its own way. Your child's gagging and vomiting responses are not defiance. They're not manipulation. They're not pickiness. They are real, protective neurological responses that their nervous system is creating to keep them safe from what feels overwhelming. Let me share what the research shows us. Between 2.7 and 4.4% of children in the United States experience what experts call pediatric feeding disorders. That means if you gathered 100 children together, up to 4 of them would be navigating these same challenges. Your child is part of a community, not an outlier. Here's what's happening in your child's beautiful, developing brain. Some children experience what specialists call sensory overresponse or hypersensitivity. Their nervous system processes food textures, temperatures, flavors, and even appearances with much more intensity than other children. What might feel like a gentle sensation to you or me can feel overwhelming, even frightening, to their sensory system. The American Speech Language Hearing Association explains that children with sensory hypersensitivity characteristically seek bland flavors, finely grained textures, small portions, and room temperature foods. These aren't preferences, my friend. These are neurologically based needs. Your child's brain is wired to experience food differently, and that wiring deserves our respect and understanding. Now, here's something that might shift everything for you. Dr. Praveen Gade and his colleagues, who are leading experts in pediatric feeding, discovered something profound. They found that learned feeding aversions develop when a child repeatedly experiences physical or emotional discomfort during meals. Over time, the child's brilliant little brain develops strategies to avoid those aversive feeding situations. Think about that for a moment. Your child's refusal, their gagging, their distress, it's not stubbornness. It's their nervous system trying to protect them from something that genuinely feels bad in their body. They're not giving you a hard time. They're having a hard time. So what can we do? How do we help these precious children expand their food acceptance while honoring their very real sensory experience? The Magic Book showed me something beautiful called the division of responsibility, developed by feeding expert Ellen Satter. Here's how it works. You, the parent, decide what food is offered when meals happen and where eating takes place. Your child decides whether to eat and how much. This might sound scary at first. What if they don't eat anything? But here's the magic. When we remove pressure, when we create a safe, low-stress environment around food, children's natural curiosity can begin to emerge. The Ellen Satter Institute teaches us that pressure to eat can intensify food aversion and create negative mealtime dynamics. When we push, cajole, bribe, or force, we're actually making the problem bigger. But when we offer food with calm neutrality, when we trust our child's internal signals, something shifts. They begin to feel safe enough to explore. Let me give you some practical strategies that align with this gentle approach. First, create a predictable meal and snack schedule. Children feel safer when they know what to expect. Offer meals and snacks at roughly the same times each day, with 2 to 3 hours between eating opportunities. Second, always include at least one food you know your child will accept. This is their safe food, their anchor. It might be plain crackers, a specific fruit, or even just water. Having something familiar reduces anxiety and ensures they won't go hungry. Third, model eating the foods you're offering without commenting on whether your child eats them. Your calm enjoyment is powerful. You might say, "I'm enjoying these carrots, they're so crunchy," but never follow it with, "Don't you want to try some?" Just model, don't pressure. Fourth, allow your child to interact with new foods in non-eating ways. They can touch them, smell them, help prepare them, even play with them. Every interaction builds familiarity and reduces fear. A child who helps wash strawberries is one step closer to tasting them, even if that step takes months. Fifth, celebrate tiny victories without making them a big deal. If your child touches a new food, that's progress. If they smell it, that's progress. If they lick it and spit it out, that's huge progress. But keep your response calm and warm. You explored that cucumber, how interesting, is so much better than, oh my goodness, you touched it, now eat it. Now, I want to share something from our story library that connects beautifully to this journey. We have a story called The Garden of Gentle Whispers, where two friends named Ethan and Sophia learn to recognize and honor their body's gentle signals for food, rest, and care. In this story, the children discover that garden plants show what they need through subtle signals. A drooping leaf means thirsty. Curled edges mean too much sun. And here's the magic. When Ethan and Sophia learn to listen to the plants, they also learn to listen to their own bodies. This story doesn't directly address food aversion, and that's actually perfect. It teaches the foundational skill of body awareness and internal signal recognition. Your child learns that bodies communicate through feelings and sensations, and those signals deserve gentle attention, not force or pressure. After reading this story together, you can help your child practice noticing their body's signals. You might say, just like the plants in the garden, your tummy and mouth send you messages. Let's listen together to what your body is telling you. This builds trust in their own internal wisdom, which is essential for healing food aversion. I also want you to know that severe food aversion often requires professional support, and that's not a failure on your part. It's wisdom. A pediatric feeding therapist, occupational therapist, or speech-language pathologist who specializes in feeding can provide targeted strategies and support. The research shows that feeding disorders are multifaceted, involving medical, nutritional, feeding skill, and psychosocial components. A team approach often works best. But while you're seeking support, or even if you're already working with specialists, I want you to hold on to this truth. Your child is not broken. Their nervous system is doing exactly what it's designed to do, protect them from what feels overwhelming. Your job is not to fix them. Your job is to create safety, offer nourishment without pressure, and trust that with time, patience, and support, their window of food acceptance can gradually expand. The magic book whispers this to me often. Every child's journey is unique. Some children expand their food repertoire quickly. Others take years. Both paths are valid. Both children are worthy. Both families are doing beautifully. You are not failing because your child won't eat what other children eat. You are succeeding every time you offer food with calm love. Every time you honor their no without shame. Every time you seek understanding instead of forcing compliance. That is gentle parenting at its finest. So tonight or tomorrow or whenever you're ready, I invite you to try this. Offer a meal with at least one safe food. Sit together without screens or distractions. Model eating with enjoyment. And then here's the hardest part, let go of the outcome. Your child may eat nothing but their safe food. They may not eat at all, and that's okay. You're building trust, not forcing intake. And if you'd like, read The Garden of Gentle Whispers together. Let your child see that listening to our bodies is wise, not weak. That gentle signals deserve gentle responses, that we can learn to trust ourselves. The magic book and I believe in you, we believe in your child. We believe in the power of patience, research-backed strategies, and cosmic amounts of love. You've got this wonderful parent with love and starlight, Inara.